Let's open up to the book of John, chapter 10. We are continuing to have a short three-sermon series on God as a shepherd. Last week we were in Psalm 23, and today we are in the book of John, chapter 10. Let's read together John 10, verses 11 to 15, and verse 27. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much for your presence with us here. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that we can draw strength, encouragement, teaching, instruction, Lord, from your word, that we can get strengthened as you open up your word and you speak to us, Lord. So, Jesus, our hearts are open to receive from you, Lord, our good shepherd. May you feed us. May you nourish us, Lord. May you grow us in the faith. Lord, we want to particularly pray for, Lord, our city, Kampala, where you've called us. Lord, a lot of political drama going on, and but we just want to pray for KCCA and the staff and whatever is going on, Lord, that there may be a peaceful resolution to whatever the conflict is, Lord. I pray that there may be harmony and unity, and Father, Lord, that everyone may play their role for a better city as they all intend to. Lord, I pray that whoever is being threatened, Lord, that you may protect them, that but even you, during this difficult time, that those who do not know you in that organization may, Lord, look to you for security, Lord, for protection, Jesus. Above all, for salvation. Lord, we know that you work all things out for the good, and I pray that even the situation that seems very ugly right now may turn out to be for the good of your people in this city, Lord. Good for all of us, as we meet in the middle of this city. So, Lord, we commit them into your hands and we commit our time into your hands. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So last week we looked at Psalm 23. It was David's inspired testimony of the Lord being his shepherd and how that the Lord would lead him and nourish him and feed him and protect him. The Lord would lead him to his paths of righteousness, and the Lord would pursue him with his goodness and mercy all his life. Today, we hear from the good shepherd himself. The shepherd himself is speaking to us today. From the book of John, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he illustrates how he protects the sheep to the point of death. Not like the bad shepherds, somebody who is just hired to keep the sheep, to watch over the sheep. And when there is danger, they run off, they flee. When the wolf is coming, the good shepherd stays and protects the sheep. The hired staff runs away when there's a wolf coming. I would love to particularly draw our attention to verse 27, where he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Those two words are going to be the center of our study this morning. Following the shepherd. Following the good shepherd means two things for us as a church and for us individually. First of all, it's a call to worship. It is a call to worship. Following the shepherd, knowing his voice, particularly means that we daily fall at his feet in worship, attributing worth to him, adoring him for who he is, and giving all credit, all glory to him in all things. Now, we read about that in Revelation chapter 4. If you don't mind, you can turn there quickly. The book of Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. We are told of two groups here in Revelation, four living creatures and 24 elders. And all the day, rather, all the day long, all night long, the Bible records, they do one thing. They worship. Verse 8, four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the four living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne of worship, in the throne rather, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Our first response to our good shepherd as he leads us, as he feeds us, as he protects us, is to fall at his feet daily in worship. Just like these four living creatures and 24 elders. That we may never, and we should never, leave that place of being with the Lord in adoration. You may call it your devotional time, you may call it your quiet time, but we need to practice individually melting down before Jesus. And just like these 24 elders, say to him, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things. We can think about things that God had created and has created. And we can also think about how good he is. We can just think about who he is. God is King, he's Creator, he's Lord, he's a good shepherd, he says. He laid his life for the sheep. He died for us on the cross. Who can die for you on the cross? Only Jesus did. And I would like to encourage us as we follow the shepherd that you make time. And not only to make time in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening with the Lord, but throughout our day. Look at these creatures and 24 elders. Day and night, doing the same thing, adoring Jesus Christ, attributing worth to him, give him glory as God. In the middle of a busy day, as you carry out your assignments during the day, as you take a walk, as you prepare a meal, you can in your heart be adoring Jesus. In the middle of this crazy city that we live in, that we gather in to worship, we can individually be adoring God day and night. And as a church, we can corporately gather like we are gathered this morning. Like Ephesians chapter 5, 19 instructs, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now we may not all sing as well as Usher does. If you looked at the person next to you while she was singing, instead of singing along, they were just kind of staring at her like you're watching TV or something. You're supposed to sing along. We may not sing as well as she does, but we can all make melodies in our hearts to the Lord in worship. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes the same thing to the Colossian church. And for us today, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As his sheep, we have the privilege to gather here, led by the worship team, sing to the Lord. These are not just songs.
These are just not choruses we sing. These are spiritual songs that exalt our Father in heaven. These are melodies of gratefulness, of worship, of adoration, of honor to our God as our good shepherd. In Psalm 29:2, the psalmist writes, "Give unto the Lord glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." We can daily get on our knees or sit down or lie down and give glory to God, give him credit for everything, and honor him in the beauty of his holiness. Just look at how beautiful, how awesome, how wonderful God is, and just sit there and think and talk and sing in worship. The psalmist again writes in Psalm 96, verse 9, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness," similar to verse 2 of 29. But he adds on, "Tremble before him all the earth." We should take some moments to just tremble before the Lord. If you look at everyone who had a one-on-one experience with the Lord, the one thing that they all did was tremble. They would fall, kneel, bow in worship, in adoration of our great God. So fellowship, we are called to worship our shepherd. As he leads us, as he feeds us, as he protects us, as he showers us with his goodness, the one response we should have individually and corporately as a church is a response of worship. Making time, and even during our busy schedules during the week, we can in our hearts be adoring Jesus, adoring God, our good shepherd. Secondly, our second response should be embracing the mission of the shepherd. Jesus came with a mission. Our shepherd came with a mission. And he said that his mission was to seek and save the lost. In verse 27, following the shepherd, as he says, as we hear his voice, means embracing his mission and seeking to save those who are lost, presenting the gospel to those who are lost, those who are outside of the faith. But for us in the faith, we are called to strengthen, to love, and to serve one another. In fact, the very first command to the very first people he called to follow him was this. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus called each one of us, and the one thing that he wants to do with us is to make us fishers of men. I came to the Lord because a friend of mine told me about him. And Jesus would use this friend of mine to fish me out. And God wants to use you individually and us as a church to draw many to the faith. Now, there are lots of ways you can do that. You can invite somebody to church knowing that the gospel is going to be presented to them. You can talk to them directly about Jesus in whatever situation you find them. However, there are other times that God will cause those people to draw to himself through you. In fact, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I actually went asking this friend of mine about Jesus. I had a lot of questions about end time events and so on. And I went pursuing this friend of mine and asking them about Jesus. And they were able to lead me to Christ right then. God will divinely draw his people to us. And we have that privilege to show them the good shepherd individually, wherever you are, whether it's a workmate, passenger in a taxi, anywhere the Lord puts us, he will draw his people to himself, and he wants to use us as his sheep to take his mission out. He said to his followers in John chapter 15, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Every Christian is called to a healthy fruit-bearing relationship with Jesus. He did not just call them to have free lunch, because he would give them free lunch anyway. At one point, he sent them out, two by two, to go out and to carry out his mission. And we are no different. We are called out to go and bear fruit. And that means taking God's word out to those who need it, inviting people to church, using every opportunity we have to present the gospel to those who are asking about it, and to even those who are not asking about it. And in whatever we do, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, in word or deed, you may think, oh, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I can't speak well. I'm not good at public speaking. The Bible instructs that in everything we do, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, we can do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This church is as healthy as it is because there are people who come out and embrace the mission of God. We've planted two churches in just the last few months because people just like you and I embrace the mission of our shepherd and they go out. And more are being called to go out. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. Don't you want to be part of the harvest? And for us inside, step out and be of service, of love to one another. If you can sing, join the worship team. You want to teach children, please go down in Sunday school. There's need every Sunday morning to teach our children the ways of God. We need more ushers to direct people and to help people be comfortable in this room. Cleaners to make sure everything is clean and neat, the toilets, the floors, the walls, electricians, and think about anything. And we should be looking for ways in which to serve one another within this room here, even downstairs. If you want to serve tea, and all of us need to benefit from each other's ministry, if you want to serve tea, go down there and serve people a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and something to eat so that we're all of benefit to each other's ministries. We will not be a healthy church if everybody did nothing about everything that needs to be done. We cannot just stay there and criticize what is not being done. Oh, this is not being done. Oh, we need to be doing this. We should step out and step up and do it. His mission is actively and intentionally being involved in his effort to draw men to heaven. And we all should, in a way. God has given us so much. We've been blessed with so much. We've been taught so much from the Word of God. We've been so empowered by the Spirit. We've been so blessed that we cannot just sit on those blessings. We cannot just stay stagnant. We cannot just grow fat and healthy and not even be able to move. We have to be very intentional and purposeful in looking for ways to reach out and to reach in, to be actively involved in the ministry here in the church. I need to inform you that next year we'll have a week in which we'll all gather here, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, Friday evening, and Saturday evening. We'll gather here as a church and go out and penetrate these malls and buildings, and not to shop, but to invite people to Jesus, to invite people to church, and we will. Are you ready? You had better be preparing. You have all the time to prepare, right? We'll go out and invite all those borders to church so that we are better passengers on their bikes, right? They'll be better riders if they know Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 21 in closing, now may the God of peace who brought you up, rather may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And we can all say, amen. Amen. We are going to partake of communion together as we look back at the sacrifice that our good shepherd did on the cross. He died. His body was broken and his blood was shed. And the ushers are going to pass out the symbols, symbolic of his body, cracker and his juice. Rather, the juice symbolic of his blood. And when you've received it, hold on to it. I'll come back up here and we'll all partake of the body and the blood of Jesus as we look back in gratefulness to the sacrifice that he did on the cross.